Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey, Super Beaks. We've got the tastiest episode ever right here. I went down to Bristol to Hoover with finalist on BBC's Hungry For It, Serena Appleby, and she took us to the most delicious Szechuan restaurant in the world. Well, definitely in Bristol, and the best one in any bit of the world that I'm likely to visit anytime soon. The edges of my mouth are still vibrating at the memory of it. Oh, it was so yummy. Anyway, first, can you just accept the fact, please, that I need to thank you for listening to Hoovering, okay? And follow us on social media and answering our listener questions with such brilliant stories. And for subscribing. And thank you for leaving 5-star reviews. And thank you for telling your friends about us. And so mega, massive, massive extra thanks also if you're my patron. Without you, I can't make the podcast. It's why I take such care and time over your rewards. If you don't know what that means, go and have a look at patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see the mountains of stuff I will swap you in exchange for as little as £2 a month. Exclusive content, bespoke messages, guest recipes, discount tickets to live shows and other magical shit like early and ad-free episodes. All things that you can get if you are also able to join in. I'm a stand-up comedian and I've actually just finished a tour, but I'm excited to tell you that my brand new whole Radio 4 series, Sturdy Girls Club, is coming out this week, 29th of March. It will all be on BBC Sounds. Please may you scoff it down into your ears. I gave my whole soul over to making it the best it could be. And presumably, the more people who listen and say nice things about it, the more likely they are to let me make more comedy for them. Right, let's get into the explosively beautiful episode we've got for you here. Fuck, I love this one so much. Serena is the stuff of dreams. So is the food she introduced me to. This one felt like a little flag put in the map of my life. Like, it was a proper adventure in so many ways. Eating ways, getting the train for the day on a sort of Hoovering day trip, meeting someone so brilliant. I feel like I'm going to remember this one for all time.
I think what's really delicious, what is it, what's caught your eye so far?
Spicy fish, but I also yes. Maybe seafood, but then I'd be sad about not getting those three chilies.
So
the
traditional Szechuan hot pot, that's got like everything in, so it's sort of got like the things that you would do when you go to like a normal hot pot, which is, have you ever been to a hot pot before?
No.
See, that's another great thing you should do on your podcast.
Okay,
so what it is you like go with a group of you and you sit in this table and you have this huge like hot pan of like broth. It's amazing. And sometimes you can have a yin yang broth, so you can choose two different sort of flavors, and you get like all your little dipping things. So you could have like I don't know, like crab sticks, seafood sticks, thin cuts of meat, and then all your veggies, and you like cook it, and you put your chopsticks in and you cook it together, and it's a very communal, lovely way of eating, and it like slows you down, so you're like chatting, and it's great.
Nice.
So this like cooking pot is sort of like the speedy version of it for one person, so it comes with all the lovely little things inside.
Okay, I mean, I think that's going to be hot.
And that's
going to
be hot. Are you okay with like everything? You might really like enjoy this though. It'll be like a pick and mix, but for like a Chinese.
And there might be things in it that are like a mystery. What
There might be some mystery.
Okay, great. What would you have if I get a traditional pot?
I'm looking at this like I don't already know, because I already know, of course. I'm going to get the spicy fish rice dish.
Boy.
It comes with these like really juicy bits of white fish, and it's just very brothy. They used to do this one dish which has the best name for any dish I've ever heard. It's called the double cooked yummy pork rice dish.
Nice.
And that was beautiful. And it had like leeks in, which was surprising because I never expected leeks in Szechuan cuisine.
Okay.
But it was good. It was really
good.
But they don't have that, so I'm going to get this spicy thing.
And do you really come here every week?
I can't lie, I actually do.
You do.
I think the longest I've not been here is when I've like physically not been in the country or I've not been in Bristol, but it's just part of my diet.
You're injured and it was,
oh no,
there
I would come here injured. I'd always find a way. 100%. No matter the time, no matter the means of method, I would find a way.
Yeah, crawling in.
It's great.
Just like crawling
I love
in
it.
The battlefield.
Give me the Szechuan. Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's just very like comforting, and I love the fact that it's just such a casual atmosphere.
Yeah. It's cool as shit. I really like it. I really like that it's only open like for a very long extended lunchtime most days as well.
That's Monday to Friday, 12 to 5.
Yeah.
They've got other things to do, you know.
They've got shit to do. This is their office.
100%.
You're allowed to join us for lunch.
Exactly. What I wanted to say to you, this is actually wild. So, I was sat on a megabus. This was about maybe three years ago now. And I was listening to an episode of The Guilty Feminist.
Yeah.
And you were on there and you were like, I've got my new show. If you really like gobbling up food and blah, 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 listen to Hoovering. It's all about eating. And I was sat on a megabus. I was like, oh, I'm going to like that. And it was the first like few episodes that you came out with. And I was like listening to it. And I've listened to you like almost every single episode since. I do it in the morning whilst I'm getting ready.
Mate.
Sometimes I purposely don't listen to it for a while, and then I've got like five to catch up on. And it's actually crazy because when I knew that I was gonna Hoover with you, I was like, this is so full circle. And I felt like I'd really made it, because no longer am I on megabuses now. I am on trains, and that is saying a lot. And it's actually crazy because I remember, like, every episode, I'm like, oh, what would I answer to this question? What would I answer to this question?
God,
and now
have,
I'm
like,
doing
best...
it!
Yes!
It's actually crazy.
Oh, God, I better remember some of the classic questions.
Oh, my gosh,
then.
No, it's but actually
also,
wild
thank
for
you.
Me.
I feel like there probably are, like, a maximum of 10 people who've heard every episode of this, so I'm
pretty
deeply
much.
Grateful.
Oh, my gosh, it's, like, so That's surreal
really
to
lovely.
Me. No, thank you. It's actually, like, a dream. I can't lie. It's a lie. I just thought you should know that because, you are one of my, like, idols in a way. It's actually mad. No, and I love it. I love it. Let me gas you. Let me gas you up. Let me gas you up. Anyway, yeah. Brawls. What are you going to ask me, babes?
Struggling with these compliments. Okay, I want to talk about that telly thing that you were a finalist in BBC's Hungry for It, which I watched and loved.
Did you like
it? Well, you even got in touch.
No way.
Yeah. I was like, excuse me, I bloody loved that. Had you done loads of cooking before that?
I have. So I've been cooking since I was 7.
Oh my god.
A long, long time.
Well, let's get into that, because that's seven, so I didn't realise I could really.
Oh yeah, you can get him doing stuff. You're starting him off easy with a cup of tea.
I was gonna say, maybe I'm crunching a bit.
It's a good entry level, for sure. Build the confidence, because, I mean, it is hard to make a good cup of tea. So I started cooking roughly when I was about 7. So my mum was a single mum, and I'm the eldest. I have 2 younger brothers.
Okay.
So it's very much like, you know, I'm the eldest girl. I've got to, like, take care, like, make them food and stuff. So I remember the first dish dish. The first thing I ever made was these instant noodles called Coca noodles.
Nice. I think I know them.
Yeah, K-O-K. Yeah. And we used to get them from Home Bargains, which I didn't realise I have down south because it's such a northern institution.
I love it.
And they were like about 19p at the time. Yeah. They're now about 49p. So that goes to show you, Cozzy lives. 19p. So I learned how to make that, and that was just like a classic dish that I would make for me and my brothers all the time. And then the more I started cooking, the more I was like, oh, I really love this.
Yeah.
And then something that very much was like a necessity, I turned into something that I just love to do, you know?
I love it.
It's like very much an expression of my love for someone, and it's, yeah, it's just, it's so like deep and meaningful to me. Like, it's literally like been with me since I was a kid, and it sounds so cheesy, but like it really has. Like,
I think there's, I don't know, lots of thoughts springing off of that, but like, it's a gift in a way, isn't it? I mean, I've had such interesting conversations with people who find it to be like, I've never really looked at it about like the ways in which it's a fucking chore. Like, we romanticize it, especially on TV shows about cooking and eating. So it seems to be a necessary part of them that we bring all this, like, oh, I suppose quite like fuzzy edged language and nostalgic stuff into it, but sometimes it does just boil down to something that feels like it's in your DNA, and it does. I think there are people who cook because they need to eat to live, and that they know that the better they get at that, the nicer the food they get to eat will be.
Yeah.
But then there are people who like get this incredible joy and sense of creative achievement and stamp of identity and a bit of self-worth. Like, it becomes much more than a function.
I
think that's a gift to have been given that. I mean, some people would have been like, got shown how to make a few things at 7 and great. Like, there were more things than there are, but it sounds like you've got like a place, there's a place in your heart, your identity, that is about cooking and feeding and enjoying it.
For me, it definitely, as I was sort of like a teenager, it became like a very calming space in my head, which I didn't realise until I was like a bit older looking back. Like, it was always very mindful to me. So when, like, you know, there was lots of turbulence around my life and whatever, every time I cook, it was just like calm. And I never knew what that was. I was always just happiest when I was cooking. Just not even like happy, but yeah, joy. Just like contentment inside. It was just peaceful, right? And that's what I needed more than anything at that time. And then it wasn't until I got to like uni where I was like, okay, let me start sort of getting to know that Filipino side of me, right? So my mum's from the Philippines. She came to England when she was like 24 with me. So young, it's insane, so young. And she never really taught us the language because she didn't want us to sort of, well, at that time, you know,
so
she,
yeah, isn't it? That is so,
it is so cool, but like,
from a place of kindness, I want you to assimilate,
sound like, well, she just wanted us to sound like, you know, British, but she didn't know at that time. She's one of 11 and came here on her own, so she didn't know at that time, being that young, it doesn't matter if you teach them another language, they're gonna grow up with a very northern accent, as I have done, which I'm very proud of. So for her, like, that was not a thing that sort of she gave to us as our Filipino identity, you know. But she did cook for us a few times when we were young. I don't want to like put my mum on blast, but she's not the best cook. She's not the best Filipino cook. I'd like to say, yeah, I learned it all from my mum. She like passed all these things down to me. She didn't, which is cool. She's given me great food memories. So for me, in like uni and sort of like when I left, was like, okay, I'm gonna start teaching myself. I want to like sort of connect to that side of my identity, you know. It's such a huge thing that I grew up with, like very bully people being like, you look different, like that's a very nice way of what they were saying. Like, I don't want to repeat it, but you know, I think we were like the only Asian people in like my entire primary school. I'm talking like tiny white village.
And where's this?
This is in Accrington. So the village that we lived in was Huncote, and literally I was the only non-white person in that primary school, which is wild because I'm only like 29.
Yeah.
So it's not that long ago, really. So yeah, and then it became a way to just be a bit more Filipino in a way that I knew what was Filipino for my identity.
I love it.
And then now, like, I'm doing Filipino pop-ups. Filipino fusion pop-ups.
Filipino fusion pop-ups. I know jack shit about Filipino cooking, and as we're not about to eat Filipino food today, I'm sure in the future, can you give me, like, a top line on what Filipino, not just food, but eating culturally involves?
Yes, so I always say that Filipino food is the soul food of Asia, because it just makes you feel so good inside. Like, you spend a lot of time, like, you know, over a pan, or like spit roasting a pig, or like you just spend a lot of time, and there's a lot of love, like growing the ingredients. On my mum's island, literally everything was grown. Like, you had to go get the chicken, you had to go pull the lemongrass from the ground, you had to go fish. So you really connect to the food, and that's like, you taste it through Filipino food.
What sort of food?
Oh, yeah.
And in what ways?
Yeah, so it's very rich. I would say it's rich.
Okay, really?
And I'm not going to lie, like, traditional Filipino food is not the most attractive looking food.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which is fair, but a lot of the food that doesn't look, you know, ugly delicious.
Yeah,
ugly delicious. Love it. But it's just, you know, the country itself has been, it's sort of had, like, a lot of different cultures and countries sort of take over it. So there's a lot of like Spanish influence.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of like Chinese influence. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like American influence now. There's a lot of, so it's like this incredible mix of like everything. So wherever you go, like, you know, there's thousands of islands as well. It's going to be completely different. So like, the way that I do my Filipino food, though, I say it's very bold. It's lots of umami, like very fragrant, and it's just fun. Like, I like doing it in a fun way. You know, it's great to just give it my little like Serena pizzazz. Like, I'm not a very traditional Filipino girl, so I'm not going to do traditional Filipino food. But yeah, it's great. Filipino food needs to sort of have its sort of moment, and I feel like it's about to.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like it will, for sure.
Well, you're pushing it that way.
Yeah.
What is Kring Kring? Why is it called that?
Kring Kring is my Filipino nickname. So it's what my mum and my family in the Philippines call me. Kring. My mum's always like, Kring Kring. Don't know what it means. I wish I knew.
Really rude.
I know, but then like, I feel like it might, I don't know. Nobody else except my family's called it me, and sometimes they do say rude things, so maybe it is, who knows? But I love
really
it.
Funny.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers, babe.
I think it's got like Chinese cabbage inside.
Mm.
Quite fragrant as well.
The outside of the dump is thicker than I was expecting. I've got so used to, like, there's thin wonton paper gyoza. It's just thicker, but you can really taste the vegetables inside.
I like that it's got a nice little chew to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go in with the broth. Ooh, try the broth in that.
Try the broth in that.
It's got a really nice, like, saltiness to it. Yours looks beautiful. Very pretty. Have you gone in with bits as well? Yes. Saltiness.
Sesame, salty.
Have you had Szechuan food before? You must have.
I don't think I've had proper Szechuan food before. Ooh. I think I've just had like something from a generic takeaway.
Oh, amazing. I love introducing people here.
Oh,
it's my favourite thing.
It gives you like, everything's like already like coated and ringing.
Yes.
I don't know if I've made that sound.
I nice, love that you have.
It does feel to me like an exciting mouth experience.
That is a term though, when you describe food, mouth feel. It's how
yes,
it feels in your
it.
Mouth. Like you, like your tongue feels like very coated and silky, and then like the insides of your cheeks are really like twangy. Whoa, look at this. See what I mean about the liquids? Very well hydrated. Okay, I'm going to put this sesame paste in the middle because it's very nice to dip your seafoody bits in to the paste and then get a spoonful of the sauce and together with the rice. Oh, I love this soup as well. You can try this. This is like a tomato and egg soup, but it's very like refreshing.
I mean,
shit, that's hot.
There's literally everything in it I want.
This one's good. It's like sweet and eggy.
Oh, what is these?
Ooh, they're fish balls.
Fish balls. Mm. Should I do that first?
Yeah, do a good fish ball.
Oh my god, that's so light and fresh.
Yeah, is it quite fragrant?
Yeah, it's really fragrant, but also it's just like, there's a bit, I expected it to be heavier than that.
The fish balls have a great texture. Yeah. Oh, love it. Honestly, there's nothing that makes me happier than when I introduce people to new food.
Oh my god, that's so good.
I love it.
I've never had anything like that fish
ball. Oh my gosh, I love it. I feel like a food perv just watching you do this. My favourite thing to do.
It's just like a flavour sponge, but actually it's way more solid than tofu or anything. It's not rubbery, but it's like bouncy. It's almost bouncy.
Yes.
Again, like incredibly light.
And there's like different types of them in it. So I think one of the other ones is like a lobster ball.
Oh my, shut up. And then...
this one here. Yeah, that one might be a lobster ball. And then this one here is another type of crustacean ball.
Oh my god.
Or like shape. But it's like... the textures of it is good. Oh, and you've definitely got spam in there. Seafood sticks and spam. Yes.
Oh my god, that's so funny that there's spam in there. But also seafood sticks, that is like... proper student.
I love a good seafood stick. Yeah.
They're so good.
I eat them sometimes with like fried egg and like you mix it together and with like a little bit of spring onion. It's such a good snack.
Oh my god,
it's a M&S used to do the best ones ever. They were like the right amount
how
of hard texture.
M&S even do them.
I know, but they were like good. I know. They were so good. They
that's
were like
so funny, isn't it?
The good side of payday seafood stick. Yeah, like where you could like, okay, yeah, I can splash out. But they're different
it's so
now.
Funny. Like, yeah, a big job just came in. I can afford an M&S.
Yeah, I've never had the privilege of trying a Waitrose one.
No,
but
neither.
I hope one day I might.
This has got future episode like written all over it. Every different variety of seafood stick.
Love it.
Right, I'm going for some rice in this bowl. Oh my.
Have a little go on this sesame dip.
There's some aniseed in this, bro.
Yeah.
I'm in fucking heaven.
I think there's a bit of fennel as well, like fennel seeds.
I've never eaten anything like it. Yeah, there's big fennel leaves, look.
Love it. So good.
Oh my god. I'm in heaven.
Oh no, you need to have your moment with this right now. Everyone's first time at Beijing Cooking Party is a very special moment.
This is a special several moment. Can I try this?
100% again.
Oh, I love it. Hot and sour. Your tomato-y egg soup. I would never think that I shredded egg in a soup. That's fucking delicious.
And it's like sweet as well. Like sweet and salty, which is like the best combination together.
Yeah, sweet, sour and salty. All in one arrangement.
I love this taste.
Okay, I think I found some spam.
Oh, do you know what? I love a bit of spam.
I don't think I've had it since childhood.
Yeah, I would dip it in the sesame.
Yeah, don't mind.
Yeah, go on. Oh, yeah. And then...
Great. Salty, vehicle, flavour vehicle.
Just so good. And I would have never eaten, like, this paste with this kind of food ever before trying Szechuan food.
Right.
Now, I'm here for it. Every week I'm here for it.
Every week. Oh, you love it.
Grandiosis.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiosis.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey team, I'm interrupting myself here to revel in some of the brilliant responses you lot have given me to the questions I've asked over the last few weeks and months. I asked if you've ever eaten food intended for an animal, and I have to say, that question is the gift that keeps on giving. Cassie on Instagram wrote to us that her mum wants to use a dirty knife to make an innocent sandwich. I'm going to stop here to interject. I love the idea of an innocent sandwich, as if other sandwiches have done awful crimes. I'll continue reading Cassie's message. She says, Mum remarked that her sandwich tasted, quotation marks, funky. Said knife had previously been used to serve the chappy dog food from the tin. Now, 20 years later, just the word chappy has my siblings in stitches. Chappy is an objectively funny word. It's what I imagine a really, really, really old men, like the ones who fought in World War One, call their willy. Do you know what I mean? The next question I asked was if you or someone you've seen has ever eaten anything memorable whilst in transit. And guys, you've absolutely smashed this. There are some of the most brilliant answers ever. It turns out people are either stone-warm legends or totally disgusting. We'll start with a voice note.
My name's Jenny Smith. I live in Steventon in Oxfordshire. About 2.5 weeks ago, I was on a train from Scarborough to York, and there was a lad, I'd say in his late teens, sat at the table seat across the aisle from me. And for about the first 10 minutes, it was fairly standard lad on a train behaviour. He was calling his mates and playing YouTube videos out loud. And then he took out the largest whole pomegranate I've ever seen in my entire life, and proceeded to eat the whole thing using just his hands, no implements, no serviettes or anything, just tearing apart this massive pomegranate, very ripe, and consuming it. And it was absolutely fascinating. I could not look away. And by the time he'd finished eating it, the entire section of the train looked like something out of a police thriller, just pure crime scene.
I love that boy. I love him. I mean, I don't like it when he played his videos out loud. What a prick. But the bit where he ate the fiddliest and stainiest of all fruits, like a giant pippy brain right in front of you. I love that. And a whole one as well. He's had a whole one. Fuck me. Think of the fibre. Oofed. Okay, we have had some amazing stories from you on Instagram too, from the unabridged self. On the tube, I once saw someone open a carton of Covent Garden vegetable soup and just drink it like it was lumpy juice. It's a sight I cannot unsee. Yeah, that's also now a story we can never unhear. Absolute fucking monster. That's the soup they use as fake sick in films, you fucking perv, whoever that was. Not for £1 million. I mean, actually, I absolutely would do that for £1 million. Jen Stanyard tells us that she saw a woman on a commuter train whip out a portable blender, fruit and protein powder, and Jen writes, and bang out a smoothie. Okay. Actually, for this one, respect. Needs must. Surely that's the most elaborate cooking that any of you have seen someone do whilst in transit. No? What's that? No? Okay. Alison Friend, this is incredible. She's written this. I saw a well-dressed man. I say well-dressed. He was wearing a suit for the office. What she's doing is clarifying there that he wasn't homeless. Because are you ready for this? I saw a well-dressed man sat at a bus stop in Manchester frying an egg on a camping stove. She says, I was sat in traffic, watched the whole thing. Stunning. Once a camper, always a camper. Finally, one more voice note, please, from Emma in London.
Last August, on the train from Bradford on Avon to Bath, I consumed an entire block of Port Salut cheese by using Tyrrell's salt and vinegar crisps as a kind of knife vessel to scrape hunks of cheese off onto the crisp to create a kind of little canapé. And I just shoveled it all into my mouth, and like it was Tyrrell's salt and vinegar crisps are very vinegary. Port Salut is not the most stinky cheese, but still, I was sitting opposite a woman who was pretty repulsed by the whole thing.
Fuck her.
And I gave absolutely zero fucks.
Yes!
It's actually quite luxurious. That was the most decadent transit snack I've ever feasted upon.
Oh my God, that's made my mouth cry. That has made... I love Port Salut. Oh, that is... It would go so well with a really strong salt vinegar crisp. I'm not sure I'm ever going to use a knife again. I hope my real-life partner doesn't listen to this episode, because I've got something very important to say. Emma, I've never met you, and this is the first time I've ever heard you speak, but I've been thinking, maybe we should just get married. Right, thanks so much for your stories. I flipping love them. Let's get back to the podcast.
Have you ever eaten anything out of awkwardness or embarrassment?
Okay, right, 100%. Sorry, Mum. My poor amazing mum.
Oh, I love it.
She once, oh my gosh, she once, right, she came out of the kitchen absolutely pissing herself laughing. Oh, and I was like, oh no, what are you feeding us? We were in about, I think we were about, I was 12-ish, so like just about to get into high school. And she brought out, and she was like, oh, I've made for you, Kring, frozen beef burger and potato soup. Pissing herself laughing, and I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? Frozen beef burger and potato soup. She was like, literally like creasing, like, try. It was the weirdest colour. It was like this murky, browny, grey, clumpy, globule thing. And it was like thick, but also like it had a ring of runniness around it.
Oh, no.
And she was crying with laughter because I knew she knew how bad it was. And we were eating it, we tried it. Like, honestly, frozen beef burgers mushed with potatoes. Also, my mum, I don't think she understands the process of how to make soups. I think she genuinely thinks you can just get things
just
and
things
like.
And then add liquid.
Add liquid, which was water.
Just water.
Not stop. She half blitzed it up, and me and my brother, half blitzed
it up.
This
is just something you'd force someone to eat. Yeah, isn't it?
And me and my brothers were just crying with laughter. It was the funniest thing, and this memory has stuck with us for years and years and years. And every time we all get together in a group, somehow it always comes back up. Like, it just has to. It's just a diamond of a memory of my mum. So yeah, I ate that out of awkwardness, and also I was embarrassed for her. But it's a great story. It makes me love her even more.
That is an amazing answer to that question. I think that also answers like a bunch of other questions I've got. Like, that's definitely got to be the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing anyone on this podcast in 5 years has ever eaten.
It was so.
It probably answers what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten to avoid food waste. It probably answers what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten.
Yeah.
It might even accidentally answer, have you ever eaten anything while it was alive?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I just got my first movie business. I just got a burst of some. I just ate some little berries things.
Ooh.
What are they? It's so...
So, I wouldn't recommend...
I just jumped about nine.
Okay, so they are Szechuan one peppercorns. Yeah, so Szechuan peppercorns give you a very numbing, tingling feeling on your tongue.
I feel like I'm having an almost sort of kinky experience.
Yeah, it does get you a little bit high, I can't lie. It's very, like, mouth-numbing. It's very sort of, like, you feel it on every single bit of your tongue. It's almost like you're very hyper-aware of your tongue. I'm impressed that you just yammed that straight in one. Wow. Absolute chili machine.
Have you ever had any foods that you didn't like that you now love?
Yes, this was a big part of my identity.
Oh, okay.
And it was how much I hated parsley.
parsley, aren't they?
I hate it. I would even lie about like being allergic to it because I just hated it. Really, really did not like it. And then on a trip recently, I went to Qatar and I accidentally ordered, I think it was a fattoush salad, or it's the
I
one.
Love a fattoush
yeah,
salad.
And it's just, is it that's just parsley?
Oh, it's loads of herbs, but it should have like a really tangy sumaki dressing.
Yes.
And like fried or like crispy prickly
yeah.
bread on top.
So it was that salad. It was literally just like these thin strips of parsley and all these like, you know, beautiful tomatoes. And oh my God, I couldn't believe I was eating it. It was like one of the best things I ate on that trip. And I was like, I think my taste buds have matured. I think I get parsley now. And ever since, like literally, like when was it? December. Ever since December.
It's so recent.
I love parsley. Absolutely love parsley.
I think flat leaf parsley is a fucking lifetime away from the sort of weird, dusty, almost a bit bitter idea of parsley that we had forced on, well, certainly me as a kid, but you were a decade younger than me, so maybe you weren't. I don't think flat leaf parsley was a thing when I was a kid. We had shit of parsley.
Did you have curly leaf parsley?
Yeah, maybe. It was like shit raw kale.
Because, yeah, that's curly leaf, that's strong, and it's very, like, thick as well, like the texture of it.
No, thanks.
Yeah, but I'm a parsley prince. I would say I'm a parsley princess now. I would give myself that title. But I still can't really get on board with cumin seeds.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's just like, to me, it tastes like a dusty flip flop that's like been dragged across like a dusty street. I just don't like it. It smells. It's like I can smell it in my mouth. Do you know
exactly
what I mean?
What you mean. It's
that smell so taste. I hate it. Yeah, I'm not into that.
You say you've always had an easy relationship with eating. Has it ever been complicated at any point?
So I would say I've had a very up and down relationship with eating.
Really?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, it was very much the era of like super, super skinny, thigh gaps. It was all about the glamorization of like eating disorders. I remember, this is like actually crazy because I was thinking about this the other day, and I was telling one of my friends, it was mad that like it was the norm to like go on MySpace and you would follow like Thinspiration accounts.
Fuck me.
Yeah, and I remember like having a MySpace and following these like Thinspiration accounts and like Tumblrs as well. That was a really bad part of like 2000s. And I remember I would read these tips on like how to be a certain size and the things you needed to do, like have one Diet Coke a day, have an apple a day, and I would really, really try my hardest because, you know, I'm mixed race Filipino. My body is shaped so differently. I've got like quite curvaceous thighs. My thighs touch, and I love that about myself now. But you know, when I was growing up, when you're such an impressionable teenager, that was the complete opposite of what was like hot. So when everyone around me had like these thigh gaps, for me it was like it just made me feel like shit. And my dad also was very weird. He like, I don't know, he just made it like made me carry this sort of like weight inside me of like everything that I would be eating. So I remember once he said something like, I was like eating some grapes, some fruit, and he was like, oh, don't eat too much fruit because you'll get fat from the sugar.
What?
And just like random things like this.
Where the fuck does that noise come to him from?
Exactly. Like, it's just so random. And like all these things about like weight, like from him, and like also from the Filipino side of like, it is an Asian culture, you know, people and your aunties or whatever and your mom will comment that you're not eating enough or you're eating too much. So
yeah, you can't get it right.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So all of this, growing up was quite hard for me. And yeah, I really remember like trying my hardest to just not eat anything. But then I'd be like, well, I'll go to the shop like at dinner time at school and I'll get like cheese and tomato toasty with barbecue sauce. And it was like the filthiest thing and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I'd get it every day, but that's all I would eat, so it's fine.
Oh, mate.
But it was crazy. Like, I would carry this in my head and I would just always think, like, I'm not enough. I'm not going to look the right, you know, I don't look the right way. And then, yeah, it's a weird old thing, but...
I didn't
not
think
that
many,
anymore.
Especially women, I don't think many of us have avoided like having a patch of that where it was just about like, the less I can eat, the more I'll feel a sense of achievement today. Like, in what grim
madness.
I spent the same review, you know, like I spent so much of my life thinking, first thing I thought when I woke up, or in like the first five thoughts is How little can they say? I definitely did that Apple a Day thing. Fuck me.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
It's actually crazy. Then,
like, you basically end up fainting, right? Like,
yeah, you just feel horrible, and you end up, like, a lot unhappier because you're doing it. You're also, like, the way that you see yourself is just completely, like, just not... Do you know what I mean? It's just not, like... You don't look at yourself like you're your friend. You look at yourself like you're your worst enemy, and that's horrible thinking about that in your head.
You don't treat a body well that you hate.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But I think love feels like a bit of a big ask.
Yeah, no, I think the older I've got, like, I'm not exactly, you know, older, but the older I have got into my, like, late 20s, it's not about, like, self-love. I love every part of who I am today. Oh, my God. Some days, I fucking do, because I'm like, girl, you look good today. But some days I don't, and I'm like, that's cool. Like, okay, that's not looking like, you know, how I usually feel like it should look. And that's cool. I actually don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care, because, like, to know what, I've got a great personality, and that's all that matters. But it's true, though.
I really love to laugh after that.
You just reminded me, because I'll forget otherwise. I brought you something.
Oh, my God.
So, this... I've heard that you're a bit of a salt tooth, and so am I.
Yes.
So, I brought you my Kring's Hot Sexy Standby.
Oh, my God.
So, I make this for my pop-ups.
Oh, so, mate, thank you.
You are so welcome. I would, honestly, I think you're gonna love it. So usually, just in case you forget,
there's so many chili seeds.
Yeah,
what's gonna happen to me?
So this is, it's spicy, but it's tangy. So it's got a nice tangy, bold umaminess to it. And a little tip, so I put this on top of hash browns, and it's so good. So crispy hash brown, then you top it with the sambal, well, with the Kring's Hot Sexy Sambal, and then fresh chives. That's a Kring's pop-up dish right there in the comfort of your very own home.
Yes.
So what I would do is I would go down and try and skim off the oil, because that's almost acts like a bit of a
barrier.
Protection. Yes,
barrier.
But that should last you a while, so enjoy!
Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Also, I'm definitely the saltiest and spiciest tooth in my house.
So yeah.
We probably won't have to do much sharing. Can other people buy it?
So you are the first person to actually have my Kring's Hot Sexy Sambal delivered to you from the hands of Kring's herself.
I'm going to put a link in the podcast notes to where other people can buy one, but it won't be as good as my one. It will.
Quick fire questions.
Tell me about food that you were given as a gift. It's fitting.
Oh, I got given these really beautiful macarons. Macarons for a V-Day about 2 years ago. And they were from my favourite macaron shop. So that was a good game.
Nice. What's your favourite macaron shop?
It's called Anna Cake Couture.
Very
Couture, isn't it? And it's up in Clifton, which in Bristol, it's the fancy part of town. But it's very delicious. That is big ups, Anna Cake Couture.
Oh, I love it. Hangover, what you have been?
Probably this, I can't lie.
This.
I love this.
Me too, man. I'm coming down here for every single
hangover. Yeah, clears the noses, you know, empties my bowels. Yeah. I have a Diet Coke. The only time I have a Diet Coke.
Lovely, lovely. There's no other option, would you hit a person?
I would eat the middle bit to the fingers, because I've read somewhere that that's really good, like that bit there.
Yeah.
I'd eat that bit, and I'd eat like the little like under bit of the armpit.
Oh, flanks, like the string.
Like that bit there.
Oh, under the arm.
Yeah,
bingo.
Like this, the bingo, the wing.
The wing.
And maybe a thigh or two, because it'd have to be a juicy thigh. Yeah, it has to be. But nothing that important.
No one's ever had a specific bit of finger that they wanted to go on, so thank you for being that first.
Now it's time for the Big Ben Question.
Some twat does a spell on buses and they become murder beasts, like terrible stealth transformers without all the cool folding up actions and little helmets heads. And just what they do is they look up a normal bus and coax people in, really focusing on the elderly and students and people who've missed the last train home. Until they're all in and the bus is full, and then they quickly collapse in and compress everyone to death until each passenger is a tiny cube like they do to old cars in the old line. There's a terrible apocalypse. which if anyone had time before we all died, they'd have made a computer game and subsequent TV series of. Keep the last off bus. Thanks so much for laughing at that. Anyway, the buses have agreed to go back in time and stay slow but benevolent doers of our bidding, but only a few, and it doesn't have to be you, Serena, I agree. To spend the entire day going round and round a Go Ape rope adventure course with a whole office of IT support people on an away day, all the time blowing them little kisses so your mouth's too busy for any snacks. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You know the drill, I reckon.
What am I going to have to eat when I am the hungriest I've ever been? Also, I would be the most sort of like highest I've ever been because I'm so terrified of heights, so the adrenaline of that. Yeah. Right, okay.
You'll be an emotional wasteland. Oh, ready for something for the soul.
I would have like the ultimate picky bits, but not like your mum's picky bits on a hot day. Okay. No, but my mum's picky bits on a hot day. Definitely not my ones on a hot day. Flipping heck, it'd be bubbling. I would have... Right, one of my most favourite ever meals on this entire earth is just really good bread and oil. Oh, I love bread and oil. It's basically what I survive off when I'm prepping for my pop-ups because I cannot physically eat anything of any flavour. So I'd have some really beautiful, hot, fresh, salted, herby focaccia.
Oh, lovely.
And I'd have some really, really bougie olive oil. Like, I'm talking, like, organic, like, first pressed by the feet of an old Italian woman. Kind of, yeah. She's got to be a nun.
Stuff that comes out almost like luminescent.
Yeah,
green.
I would have that batch of oil with some really beautiful like balsamic vinegar in that, and have a moment with that. Then I'd have like loads of olives on the side, but like a platter of olives, so different types of olives. The huge, huge ones, the ones that are stuffed with garlic, the ones that come with cheese. I'd have those types of olives, and then I would probably have the best hummus I've ever had in my life. In Qatar, in that same time I had the parsley salad. It was like this roasted garlic hummus, but it was so incredible. It was the place that we went to eat at was this Syrian place, and it was a traditional Syrian garlic hummus. It was just insane. So creamy, so like pump, like oof of garlic. Proper hummy, but just smooth. I'd have that garlic, that garlic hummus. And then I would have a roast dinner on the side of this, because I love good roast dinners, and the gravy needs to be thick. Like, I want thick gravy. But I would also have the best chip in the entire world, and the best chip in the entire world is in my hometown, and I used to go there every day after school and have a dab butty. So I'd get a dab butty from the chippy, and I'd have that on the side. It's basically like a fried potato round with butter, like really buttery bread, and it's like the beigest thing, but the most beautiful thing ever. I'd have that on the side, because I don't often get to have that now that I'm down here. And then I'd have some like traditional Filipino spring rolls, but from like a random auntie at a Filipino party, because they're always the best.
Got it.
I don't want to make them. I don't want to make anything.
Yeah,
I'd have that. And so that's like my main. That's going to be my main. Is there anything else? You know, I'm very ravenous at this point, and it's a week before I'm on, so I'm even more hungry. I'd have that. Oh, I'd probably have this fish rice stew on the side. I could not.
Yeah,
you gotta
have this.
I gotta have this. Yeah. And then, oh, I'm almost forgetting the best prawns I ever had in my entire life.
Here we go.
Were in Corfu. It was in this little place called Benitez, and they were like these shell on small mini prawns, and they were like deep fried, but they were so like light, and they came with this beautiful like aioli dip thing, but you could literally just yam the prawns like with the shell, and they were incredible. So good. So that with the best Greek salad, which was also so basically just the best of all the food that I've ever had. Yeah. Like those. And
the
then
best of
dessert
flavors.
What would dessert be? See, I'm not like a super desserty person. But I would want one just because I can.
Okay.
just to round off the meal.
Yeah.
Like, there's always room for dessert. I would have Oh, I would have a really good apple crumble. I love a good apple crumble, but with, like, you know when you put oats on the top and it gives it a bit more of a crumbly texture?
Lovely, yeah.
I'd have a proper good apple crumble.
What are you having? Is there vanilla icing with it, or are you not?
I'm going to have cream and ice cream.
Yeah.
Because
nice.
In this scenario, it doesn't make my tummy funny, so I can have as much of it as I want. And I'm going to have the thickest, most Jersey gold top cream there ever was.
Solid clotted cream.
Oh, and I'll clotted cream and ice cream. Yes. And then I'd probably have a shot of limoncello just to, like, clear the palate. And, yeah, that is my dish of the day.
That is fucking
extraordinary
answer. You've smacked that, mate.
Hoovering Podcast.
Okay, you need to know that Kring Kring Sambal is actually for sale now, and you have to get some. I'll put a link in the podcast notes wherever you got this podcast from, but Googling Kring Kring Sambal with 2 Ks might do it, or make sure you're following Serena on social media. She should be shouting about it there if it's gone on sale, at Serena Appleby. Again, links in the podcast notes. It's not an exaggeration to say the pot that she gave me changed my life, and that of everyone I shared it with. I carried it everywhere I went and I smashed through it in an embarrassingly short time. I've made a little picture documentary about my short and beautiful love affair with that inaugural pot of sweet, sour, fruity hot sauce for my patrons. Find out where Serena's cooking and do whatever it takes to get her grub down your face. It is honestly the stuff of fucking dreams. And in terms of my stuff, I'd love to see you at any new material stand-up gigs I'm doing. I'm doing some fundraiser gigs. That stuff's always on the cards. Just look at my website, jessicafosterq.com. Also, I've got a full series out, a comedy series called Sturdy Girls Club, roughly about women and weightlifting, but it's for everyone. It comes out on the 29th of March. It's on Radio 4 and late at night, or you can get the whole lot on your Sounds app. Each episode's only 15 minutes, so you do have time for that, actually. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Foster Q. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Foster Q. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.